Right. Romans chapter 8, and of course we're continuing our series on defining doctrine. And as we've gone through it, I'm hoping that you've seen just how great a salvation that we have. So much that we've talked about already of redemption, regeneration, justification, the atonement, of all that has happened, all that has been that occurs upon that moment of our salvation. And really it is something that as we continue along we see that we still have hardly scraped the surface of it, that there's so many facets to this diamond of our salvation. And it is something that we want to understand as well, that our salvation, that God, we understand that there is that point that when we trust Christ as Savior, that we pass from death unto life, that once we are saved, we are always saved. We can never lose our salvation. But we understand also that our salvation is more than just our free ticket out of hell, that there's a whole lot more to that, that the Lord wants to save us and save us from sin in our body, soul, and our spirit. He doesn't want to simply save us from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin, and one day from even the very presence of sin, when we come to be with Him forever in heaven. And so, we want to understand that. We want to understand that with all of our salvation, we touched on this when we dealt with redemption, that the thought that we're redeemed from something, but we're also redeemed for something, that we're saved for a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for us. And He wants it to be made plain, and it's something that we may not necessarily understand His whole plan and purpose upon our salvation, but as we study the Scriptures, and as we will continue to do through this series, we'll see there's so much involved of what He wants to accomplish in our lives. And so the concept that we want to deal with is the concept of predestination. We see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 is what we'll read. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your great salvation. Lord, we pray You would help us to understand it more fully, Lord. We know that on this side of glory, just understanding all that is involved, it boggles the mind. But we just pray that we would, as we study, we would gain a greater appreciation of what You have done, that we would gain a full understanding of what You have predestinated us unto, that we would seek that in our lives, that we would enjoy the blessings that You have for us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And this concept of predestination, it's crucial that we understand it. It is a concept that is crucial to our Christian walk. And we understand the word predestinate. We have the idea that it's a destination that's determined. The actual Greek word is proorizo. Pro meaning before, and orizo is to define, to mark out, to delineate. That you are to kind of set the borders of something. That is the idea of that word. And so it's to determine beforehand, to have something set out. And trying to understand how that relates to us, I found the best way of understanding it is that, say if you were to go and buy a plane ticket, you're going to go to a certain destination, that when you buy that ticket, that your destination is predetermined. That it isn't something that you can change it halfway through unless you try to hijack the plane, but that's not the way it's supposed to work. But it is something that when, as soon as you buy that ticket, you know that you have a predetermined destination, a place that you're headed. And you also know that you're going to enjoy certain benefits along the way. We know that these days with different things that the benefits of during our trip seem to be less and less. It used to be you get a full meal, now you get maybe some peanuts and a cookie and maybe a drink, but it is something that we understand that along the way it's predetermined there's going to be blessings, certain benefits that you're going to enjoy along the way. And when we think of our salvation in this way, we understand that it is, first of all, it's more than just a ticket out of hell. There's a whole lot more involved in our ticket, and we need to kind of read the fine print, if you would. We understand with our ticket that all expenses are paid. They're paid for by the blood of the Lamb. That there isn't anything that we ever did to earn our salvation in any way, that He has done that, and it's a gift to us, so we take it by faith. And we understand that as we take it, that there's these things that even though we don't fully understand, that that's part of what we have done as we have taken that ticket. And sometimes we purchase a ticket of salvation, many people do, without fully understanding what their destination is, but you can't stop the plane and turn around. There's no parachutes in God's salvation, that once you're in, that there is this predetermined path that He wants you as a child of God to pursue. And we understand that there is a great deal of misteaching of predestination around. There is the thought that God predetermined everything that will happen, the thought that He is the author of evil as well as good, that He predestined some to salvation and some to damnation. But we understand as we study the Scriptures that it goes against the principles of God, the character of God. We understand that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That Jesus Christ gave Himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That we realize that the gospel is whosoever will. And when we understand, as we study the idea of predestination, when we look at it in the Scriptures, there's really only four verses that have the word predestinate in them. And if you were to go to the proaritzo, the actual Greek word, there's only actually six verses in the whole Bible that use that word. And so we take those as our basis. And we have to understand, as we study these, that with all of them, as we look at the context, we look at what they're discussing, it isn't dealing with if it's predestinated to heaven or hell. The predestination deals with what is to come after salvation. That once some person is saved, then this is the predetermined path. This is what their destination is. These are the blessings, the benefits that they're going to receive on their journey towards this destination. And so we want to look at that, and we see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it begins, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." We see, first of all, this idea of to foreknow. It's very simple. The word is to know before. That's, if you look in the Greek, that's exactly what it means as well. And it's that whole thought that we want to understand, that we see things only in the present. We remember the past, we try to predict the future, but we really have no knowledge of that, no real sense of it. But we understand that our God is an infinite God, that He is not bound by time as we are, and He sees past, present, future all as one. That when we meet a person, we see them at a point in time. When the Lord thinks of that person, He sees them from their birth to their death. He knows all the choices that they will make. He knows the path that they will take in life. And it's what I find amazing. It's even the thought that He knows all the possibilities of how their life could have turned out if they made different choices. And He knows what will happen, but He knows what could have happened. And it is a blessing to know how His purposes are not disappointed, that we see that through Scripture, that He had a certain line through which Christ was to come, and we see with different situations there, with David, with Judah, how they committed wrong, and then you think, well, everything's so messed up, how could the Lord work through that? Well, the fact is, He found a way to do that by His grace to even overcome the sins of men to fulfill His promises. And so we understand this idea of foreknowledge, that the Lord knows the actions and reactions of men. He knows the choices that they will make. We see from this passage, first of all, that foreknowledge does not mean the same thing as predestination. Because if it did, it says, well, whom he did predestinate, then he also did predestinate. That it grammatically, we understand that doesn't make sense, that they're separate things. And we also understand that foreknowledge precedes predestination. It isn't something where we understand that God orders this to happen, and that's how he knows that it's going to happen, because it decreed it to be so. We understand instead that he is seeing what is going to happen in the future, and so he has a plan. He knows who is going to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as his Savior. And so, because of that, he has a plan predetermined, that it isn't a question, well, what are they supposed to do with their lives now? It isn't something that God has caught off guard. That he knows, he says, now that you're saved, you're my Son, this is what I want you to do with your life. And so we see that, and we see the next verse, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And we think of these things of predestinating, of calling, how he draws a person by the Spirit, and they respond by faith, and once they do that, that they're justified. And we understand that when they pass from this life, when we receive our brand new body, that we are glorified. And in our eyes, of course, we see that there's many years between those steps. But of course, in God, he sees it all at once, because that's who he is. That's how he functions, because he can see in that way. He's not bounded by time. And so then we see in this terms of our predestination, what is our preset destination of our Christianity? Where are we headed? And we see that in verse 29, that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That we see that the end goal of our Christian life, where we're headed, we think, well, I'm headed to heaven, and that's true, but the whole point of our salvation is not just so that we could get to heaven. Otherwise, as soon as we're saved, the Lord would take us home. That we understand that that's where we're going to end up in the end, but our final destination is to become like Christ. That's what he desires, that we would be free from sin, that we would be made holy, we would love as he loves, and that is the end goal. And it is something that is a great help to us in understanding whatever situations we might go through in life, especially as a young Christian, because always what happens is that we're excited about our faith, we want to serve the Lord, and then the devil seems to try to get in there and discourage us, cause some thing to happen that'll just tear us to the core, and we just want to give up and throw our Christianity away. But when we understand that this is part of God's plan for me to become Christ-like, this is, he's allowing this to happen so that I could become more like him. That he knows the rough edges that need to be taken off. He knows what I need to learn along the way. And so, it is something that we understand, that this is our destination. Whatever turbulence we might pass through on our way to the end, he's still going to bring us through to the end. That any of you have ever traveled on a plane, that can happen sometimes. You hit turbulence and things get a little rough. And it isn't something that you run up and you bang on the door and you say, well, turn this plane around, I'm done, I don't want to do this. It's something, you know, well, the captain knows what he's doing, he's going to see us through. And it's something that we understand that with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the captain of our salvation, that he is going to guide us through. He has been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He will see us through to our destination. Philippians 1 verse 6 said, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That he's going to continue on. He's going to bring us to that place. That is what his purpose is. That he wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to manifest Christ-likeness in our actions, in what we do. That we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." But that's the idea, that He had ordained that if we are a Christian, if we have accepted Christ as Savior, it says in another place, "Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That is the path that we take. That is what the Lord desires for us. And so that is what we are to follow. So that is our preset destination, but then we also understand that there is many benefits along the way. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 1. That these are things that we are to enjoy, things that are a blessing, that we really only have a very small appreciation of in this time right now. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." And we understand that we have been chosen by Him, that we understand that the chosen are the elect, or though all those who have accepted Christ as Savior, whosoever will come to Him by faith, and that knowing that we would come to Him, knowing that we would trust Christ as Savior, that He has a purpose for us, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, and that we are predestined to the adoption of children. And we had discussed a little bit in the messages previously about the idea of adoption, but it is something that we understand that along with the idea of adoption, it always is the idea that now you're an heir. That it isn't something where you just take on someone's name and that's where it stops. Because really, that's all the Lord could have done, and by His mercy, just to save us and say, "Okay, well now you're on your way to heaven, you're good to go." But the fact that He adopted us, that means that we have an inheritance. It says, verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." That we have obtained an inheritance through Him. And we see that in Romans chapter 8, once again. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And this thought that we are heirs, that we're joint heirs with Christ, that Christ is not only our Savior, that He is our brother, that it boggles our minds, but we understand that is part of His blessings, this inheritance that He has predestinated for us, that we are to have. That we see, if you turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll continue on in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, rather. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And we understand that the Holy Spirit, we have this thought that God Himself resides within us, that He is our constant companion, that He illuminates the Scriptures to us, that He empowers us for service. That when we see this, the understanding, the earnest of our inheritance, what is an earnest? That's the down payment. that if you're going to buy a house, you put down earnest money to show that you have the money that you're going to pay it in full later on. And that's the idea that the Holy Spirit, and how great and glorious it is that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, but the thought that that is just the down payment of what our inheritance is. That how amazing it is until the redemption of the purchased possession, that our whole body, soul, and spirit have been redeemed, and when we are glorified, that we live forever with Him, that we will get a taste and an understanding of what He has for us. And we see that 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And we understand that those words "ordained before," that's the proorizo, from which we find in other places translated "predestinate." And it says, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And verse 9, "but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And it is that thought that we, and as we could study further, that there is so much to do with our inheritance, of how we think that we have, the Lord is building a mansion for us, that we shall spend eternity forever with Him, that we can receive crowns of glory that fade not away, that it is something that it is so beyond our ability to even comprehend or even scratch the surface of what our inheritance is, but that is what we have been predestinated unto, that because we have trusted Christ as our Savior, that it is something that we, when we saved, we of course would not have understood all that the Lord had in store for us. And even now, we only understand just barely, just a glimpse of it. But the fact is our life is set before us. There is no question as to what we are to do with our lives. There is no concern or thought, well, I'm just to kind of go back to what I did before. If some, we understand that we have a purpose, that we have an inheritance. We understand that we're children of God, that we're His representatives upon this earth, that we are to be just like our big brother, that we are to be conformed to His image, that whatever we go through in life, that's what the Lord is going to bring about in us. And that really we understand that with the Lord, as He's predetermined this, that He's going to make it happen. Whether we do it the easy way, yielding to Him, or whether we do it the hard way, He has to chasten us and work with us and get us so that we're following His path. But He is going to continue to work with us and perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that's part of why He's given us His Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can become what we should be for Him. And so it is my hope that we understand this idea of predestination, that it is not something that we get confused with or try to understand all different things that have been said through it through the years, but we understand what the Scriptures have to say, that it has to do with our becoming Christ-like, it has to do with our inheritance that we have, and it's the whole purpose of our salvation that the Lord has predetermined, that we get our ticket when we trust in Christ as Savior, and then we see from the Scriptures how much that ticket includes, that it is much more than we ever thought it would be. And one day we will get a glimpse of what it is fully, and I think it's good that we'll have a glorified body, because I think with our fleshly body, our heads might explode when we would see it all, that it would just be too much for us. But I am so thankful for that, and may the Lord help us that we would understand this concept and appreciate it further. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Once again, we thank you for this concept, Lord. Help us to understand it. Help us not to misunderstand it. And Lord, we just thank you that you have a purpose for us, Lord. You have a goal for us to strive for. That every day that we awake, we know where we're to be headed. And we just thank you for all the abundant blessings that we enjoy as your children, Lord. That we just get a small portion of that now, Lord, but there'll be so much more in glory. And Lord, we thank you for this, Lord. We know it's not of our merit or anything like that, Lord. It's all of your grace. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless us this evening and throughout the week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'd all stand with me, we'll turn to hymn number 330. It's saying, I would be like Jesus, hymn 330.
Earthly pleasures vainly call me, I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter, I would be like Jesus. That my soul may serve him better, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, lift my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. All the way from earth to glory, I would be like Jesus. Telling o'er and o'er the story, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. That in heaven he may meet me, I would be like Jesus. That his words well done may greet me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, lift my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus.
Amen. Brother Jerry, please dismiss us in prayer.
We come to you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your word and the very truth that was shared with us tonight. And Lord, help us to go into this week.